Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. Thank you for your attendance on this meeting and call. I am here in FTI's offices in London, and with me from the company is Tim Bushell, our Technical Non-Executive Director, and also Jerry Smart, our Exploration Manager. So the three of us will handle questions once the presentation is over, excuse me, but I'll do most of the talking during the presentation itself. So what I would like to do is run through in a little bit of detail the presentation we put up on the website yesterday, which is our revised corporate update, summarizes a bit of what we did in 2018, because I'm sure there are people who are interested to know a little bit more about the two wildcat wells we drilled in blocks 4 and 5. But concentrating on what we're going to do in 2019, because we're looking to execute a very active program this year, having had to delay two of the wells that were planned in 2018 into 2019. So I'll talk you through that in some detail. if I remember, and I will try and remember, to remind you what page we're on as we go through. So if you can turn to page 3 in the presentation, those of you that have it have access to it in front of you, this is effectively the corporate overview. And obviously there's no need to introduce Petromatad, I hope, but just as a reminder, last year we raised $35 million of capital to fund a 6-well program in our acreage in Mongolia. The three blocks we have, block 20 in the east, close to existing production, and blocks 4 and 5 in the central western part of the country where there's been very, very little exploration done to date. We've drilled 2 wildcat wells so far, one of which had encouraging shows of oil and gas, although no hydrocarbon accumulation, and the other well, that was Snow Leopard, and the other well, Wild Horse number 1, was a dry hole. The post-well analyses of the data gathered in those wells is underway at the moment. Obviously, Snow Leopard, we got the data first because it was the first well to be drilled, so we're a little bit more advanced on the analysis there. But that's showing some good indications for the prospectivity in Block 5, and I'll talk you through those as we have some new things to talk about. What we're looking at doing in 2019 now is a 4-well program that's targeting close to 300 million barrels of prospective resource in those 4 wells. And it's going to start in the second quarter of 2019 when the weather is suitable for drilling activity with 3 wells on Block 20. Now, Block 20 is the block, as I said, close to the existing production in Mongolia. So this is a different risk profile than the wildcats we were drilling in 2018. And it's a part of a balanced portfolio. So we'll be starting this drilling campaign with wells that have a good chance of success, I would say, and I will talk you through them each as we go through the presentation. And then the plan is, once we finish the 3 wells in Block 20, we'll move back over to Block 5, where we will have completed post-well analysis, prospect ranking, and decided which of the big prospects that we see in Block 5 that have been high-graded, we want to drill. So I'll talk you through all that as we go along. Turning over to slide 4, the Mongolia overview, nothing has changed particularly in the last 12 months in Mongolia, although it is fair to say that with production declining, you can see on the slide it says 17,000 barrels a day in 2018 was the production from Mongolia. That is lower than 2017 by a factor of about 15%. So the PetroChina operated production is in decline, and Mongolia is very keen to incentivize people to come and explore in the country. And so the fiscal terms remain very, very attractive, and there's no intention from the government to change them. So they are attractive enough to entice the international community in, I believe. But at the moment, the most active operator on exploration in the country is Petromatad. I'll show you an update slide summarizing who's doing what at the moment. We're not the only people that are drilling exploration wells, but we are by far the most active. The other thing that has changed is that this long talked about refinery that Mongolia has been wanting to build. They have actually started work on it, so that is moving ahead right now. And so the government is very keen to see wells drilled, and we're certainly getting a lot of support from the government and from the regulator to get moving with our program. Moving on to slide number five, this is the description of why we see Mongolia as a good place to look for oil. The basins of China have been explored extensively over the last, let's say, 100 years, whilst geologically similar basins in Mongolia have not. And basically, that's down to geopolitical constraints when Mongolia was a Soviet satellite, the Soviet Union having no reason to look for oil in Mongolia and not letting anybody else in to do so either. So there's been very, very limited activity in Mongolia, but it's not because of technical reasons. It's because of geopolitical reasons. And so Mongolia is very keen to have people come and explore, and that's what we're trying to do. If you look at slide six, this summarizes the recent activity. It's a little bit wordy, the slide, my apologies. But if you look at the western half of the country, you can see the Petromitad wells highlighted in dark blue there, Snow Leopard 1 and Wild Horse 1 in blocks 5 and 4, respectively. To the west of that, there's only ever been two wells drilled in western Mongolia, and they were drilled in block 1 back in 2014-2015. They were drilled without seismic. They were drilled on gravity anomalies that turned out to be volcanics. So no real test of the proper petroleum geology over there as yet. And one other well in western Mongolia was drilled in block 7 to the south of the Petromitad acreage. It's highlighted there as Empire Gas. That well was drilled on some seismic, but to what we've seen of it, we can't really understand why they located the well where it was. So the exploration activity in the western part of the country is, you know, almost non-existent, just those five wells drilled in what is a massive amount of acreage, but still prospective acreage. And the encouragement we got from Snow Leopard, we are taking to heart and trying to learn as much from as possible. And we'll also be learning what we can from Wild Horse as those analyses move forward. In the eastern part of the country, there's been a lot more drilling, but it's been specific to two particular areas, I would say. The Dongshen production area, which is Mongolia's longest producing field. This was the only field that was developed by the Soviets and was done, they did so for primarily military reasons, to have some oil near what might have been the front line of a conflict with China, had they had one. And then over in the east, the PetroChina blocks 19 and 21. This is an extension of a basin from China, was first drilled by SOCO back in the 1990s, and PetroChina bought the interest in the early 2000s, and basically have done a lot of work there to bring Mongolia's production up to 25,000 barrels a day, although, as I said, it is now in decline. Two other recent discoveries, one in Block 18, which is NPI LLC, that block to the north there. Two wells there tested oil, but not at very high rates, and they've basically not been developed. And then Zongheng in the south in Block 11 drilled 14 wells, and they are actually now in what they call test production. So there is a little bit of activity going on. We have had a look at these finds themselves to understand them, to learn from them, and also to see if there's any possibility of cooperation with the companies that operate. Those conversations are ongoing, but at the moment, it's encouraging to see a little bit of activity. And most recently, the Max Group, close to Block 20, you can see our Block 20 in the east there, colored in dark blue. The Max Group has drilled a discovery well on Block 29, which is not very far away from the basins of our Block 20, and I'll show you that in a little more detail when we focus in on Block 20 itself. So there is some considerable activity going on in Mongolia at the moment, but as I say, Petromitad will be by far the most active exploration operator in 2019. So the next slide, on slide number seven, is our work schedule looking at 2018 and 2019. And I'll do a little bit of history here. As you will recall, our plan was to drill a six-well program in these 2 years, four wells in 2018 and two in 2019. That became two wells in 2018 and four wells this year, due primarily to the failure to consummate the contract with the drilling contractor who was going to drill in Block 20 for us in 2018. I think we were the victim of circumstance there in that just as we were trying to finalize that contract, the rig owner was getting very busy with PetroChina, who had had a slow start to their activity in 2018, slower than normal. And by the time we were ready with the signing of that contract, the rigs were busy and we were being offered equipment that really wasn't up to standard and would actually not have been ready to drill before the winter came. So we had to reluctantly postpone that drilling. But now we are at the stage where we have reached an advanced stage in the process of contracting a rig for 2019. And our recommendation is now with the government for their review and approval. So we're hoping to be able to enter the contractual negotiations very quickly to get that rig signed up during the first quarter. So we're ready to spud early in the second quarter, as early as the weather will permit us to drill. So as you can see on here, then in the dark orange color just shows you where the wells were timed. So we had Snow Leopard principally in the third quarter of 2018, Wild Horse 1 in the fourth quarter. And our plan now is to drill three wells in Block 20, first of all, starting in the second quarter, finishing in the third quarter of 2019, and then one well in Block 5 in the fourth quarter. And I've shown on here the likely drilling order. As we said in our RNS, our public statement yesterday, we are still doing some work in Block 20 to define exact specific targets and the exact drilling order, but I think that this will be the drilling order, very likely. Heron number one, then Gazelle number one, Red Deer number one, and well number four to be decided because we are still incorporating the results of Snow Leopard and working up some new prospectivity, which I will talk you through. So if we look now at Block 20, on slide number eight, that's just a picture of the nearby activity of PetroChina to our acreage. You can actually see PetroChina facilities and wells from our acreage. Their main production hub is about 20 kilometers away from the Heron and Gazelle wells, and there is spare capacity in that in those facilities and also in the export route. So we have the opportunity here, should we find anything, to very quickly bring it on stream by way of test production, which is allowed under the petroleum law and the PSC, and obviously to advance towards commerciality, commercial production as quickly as possible. So we are very close to existing infrastructure, as the picture demonstrates. And then on slide number nine, this just shows you where Block 20 sits and its proximity to the surrounding producing basins. So in the north of Block 20, where we have Gazelle, Heron, and Antelope prospects nicely defined, immediately to the north, over the border into Block 19, you can see the Tonson Ul oil fields highlighted in green there. They are producing about half of PetroChina's daily production. The rest comes from Block 21, which is a little further to the north, but effectively is in the same basin. And those three prospects that we show in northern Block 20, they are located in that producing basin, exactly the same play that PetroChina produces from, exactly the same structural styles, well depths, and reservoirs. So that's going to be the focus of the start of our drilling campaign. And then we have in the south an undrilled basin, but a basin center prospect called Red Deer sitting within it. We believe that although that basin is yet to be proven productive, we know from the surrounding basins that the petroleum system and the age of formation and the geological history of these basins is all very similar. You can see in the on the Chinese side of the border are a number of producing basins, all have the same geology, Jurassic Cretaceous play system. And the recent well that has been drilled in Block 29 is immediately adjacent to the oil fields in the Air Sag that's shown on the map there. The well that has been announced as a discovery is actually within 40 meters of the international boundary between China and Mongolia. So obviously there are fields there that are extending across into Mongolia, and Mongolia is now getting after drilling them. So Block 20 sits in a good position from point of view of petroleum prospectivity, and we are about to embark on our drilling program in 2019. So if you look at slide 10, which is a little bit busy, but it shows you at the area in the north, which is outlined in a bold white line, that is the production area of Block 19, which is the PetroChina-operated fields that produce the vast majority of Mongolia's daily production. The main complex, it says circa 300 to 400 million barrels, that's circa 300 to 400 million barrels, and the main processing facility and the export roads are annotated on there. And you can see we've included oil in place figures for basically all of the fields in the southern part of Block 19 that PetroChina has discovered, most of which are on production. And then you can see across the block boundary into the southerly Block 20, we've highlighted on here the gazelle, heron, and antelope prospects. And we've also included our estimate of their mean oil in place figures, so 94 million barrels in gazelle, 77 in heron, and 54 in antelope are the in-place figures, which, as you will see in a moment, translate into potentially valuable commercial recoverable numbers. And so I'll go through them in the likely order that we will drill. And so if I can draw your attention to slide number 11, this is a picture of the heron prospect. Now, Heron number one is going to be located to test what is an extension of the 1946 oil field that has been drilled with a number of wells by PetroChina in Block 19. That structure, we are now very, very confident, having reprocessed and reinterpreted seismic and had got our hands on some data that we didn't previously have. We've been able to see that the Heron prospect is indeed an extension of that oil field. So Heron number one effectively is an appraisal of a structure already proven to be oil bearing. And it has a considerable amount of upside because the Heron prospect extends quite a long way south and comes quite a long way up dip as you climb out of the basin. So we're in a good location to see a fairly sizable southerly extension to that proven oil field in from Block 19. And we're going to start with a well less than a kilometer from PetroChina's closest oil well. And with success, then we would look to appraise Heron by drilling further south, chasing those sands as far as they may go. So as it currently stands, we have in Heron 16 million barrels of mean prospective resource is our estimate of as a recoverable number, which is a very nicely commercial number for this area. Minimum economic field size here is probably less than 3 million barrels because of the proximity to existing facilities with spare capacity. And there is considerable upside on Heron, depending on how far south the reservoir sands encountered in the 1946 wells, how far that extends. And obviously, we are right next to PetroChina's facilities. Heron is actually crossed by the trucking road. So that adjacent infrastructure with spare capacity would allow us to develop the field and start production very, very quickly. So Heron likely to be the first well. It's a TD of around about 3,000 meters to intersect all of the pay zones that were seen in the L46 wells. In particular, L1946-3, which is the closest well to where we will be drilling Heron number one. So we're looking to get after that as early in the second quarter as the weather permits. If you turn on to slide number 12, this is a summary of the Gazelle prospect. We have done more work on Gazelle since we presented it last year, given that the delay in drilling gave us a bit more time to work with the data. And basically, we have confirmed the structural configuration that we had previously mapped. We haven't seen any major changes there. Gazelle number one will be a well to about 2,100 meters to intersect all of the primary reservoir objectives in the Tsagansav formation. This is an exploration well. The structure has not been drilled by PetroChina because it doesn't extend very far into Block 19. But this structure is a dead ringer for the 1930 oil field, which is a few kilometers further north in Block 19. And that is PetroChina's current best producing field, because as you go westward, the reservoir quality improves and well rates are similarly improved. Once again, close to infrastructure, so favorable for a very, very quick development. The next slide is one that summarizes the Red Deer prospect. Now, as I mentioned at the start, Red Deer is in a basin that has yet to be drilled. So this will be a basin opening well in what we call the Asgat Sag. It's about 100 kilometers south of the existing producing area. But we believe that the early Cretaceous petroleum system is present in this basin, as it is in effectively all of the basins around this part of Mongolia and China. And the structure is a very nice basin center three-way dip closed against a fault. This is the primary trap type that PetroChina has in their acreage, and being right in the center of the basin is absolutely the best place to start. It's got attractive resource potential with mean of 48 million barrels as a target, and as I'll show you in a moment, that is a very, very tasty and valuable in the success case. So we're looking forward to getting Red Deer drilled. It's a similar depth to the Gazelle well at 2,100 meters. And these wells, by comparison with what drilling operators do for PetroChina or elsewhere in this part of Mongolia, these wells can be drilled pretty quickly in less than a month. And to depths like this, they do so. One of the drilling contractors says a matter of a few weeks, but we'll believe that when we see it. But anyway, we want to get started as soon as possible to give us the chance to get all of these wells in the time frame we have in 2019. Final slide 14 just shows you what the Antelope prospect looks like. Not currently on the plans to drill in 2019, but it's nice to have been able to map it in detail with the reprocessed data that we now have on hand. This one is also covered by the Petromatad 3D that was shot some years ago. So we've got pretty good coverage of Antelope. Looks to be a solid exploration prospect. Not been drilled on the PetroChina side because it doesn't seem to extend very far that way, but has got proven oil in a couple of the Davsan Tolgoi wells that were drilled by Petromatad a few years ago. So that's kind of proving that the migration system for the oil is working. So it's in a good location. It's got a mean prospective resource of 7 million barrels, so smaller than the others, still, you know, a commercially valuable resource if it's there, but we're not starting with Antelope. We're going to keep it in the back pocket and see how we do with the larger features that I've already described. So in terms of the success case economics, slide 15 summarizes where we are. And we're showing two cases here, the 15 million barrel case and the 50 million barrel case. So 15 million is mimicking the Gazelle or Heron success, and 50 million barrels is kind of the Red Deer size of success. And we're using the an up-to-date forward curve for Brent prices and a discount to Brent that is taking account of effectively what Block 19 crude trades at, which is about a 5% differential. We've assumed that a 50 million barrel reserve in the area of Red Deer would require its own production facilities. We wouldn't be able to piggyback on PetroChina. But we've assumed for the 15 million barrel cases, because they are located so close to PetroChina facilities, that we would use their facilities. So we would require minimal facilities to put these on stream. We know quite a lot about the trucking costs, so we've incorporated those. If a 15 million barrel discovery is made, then the maximum CapEx exposure to bring it on stream is around about $45 million. And, you know, to maximize your NPV, you would probably need that money, and then you would invest it as quickly as possible to get up to full production. But actually, we don't need to go that way because we are right next to the existing facilities. We can actually put these features on one well at a time. And it would be very nice to, with a discovery, be able to put it on stream quickly so that, you know, finally Petromatad could have some revenue, and not just be an explorer that was spending money, but actually be a company that was generating some. And the possibility of test production under the petroleum law is something that we're already looking into in the hope that we are successful early in 2019 to try and get to the stage where we can actually put the wells into production, not only for the revenue, but also for the reservoir information. And then if you see on the table on the bottom right of slide 15, so how does this stack up in terms of net present value? You can see a 15 million barrel discovery, an NPV10 of around about $76 million, and the 50 million barrel target, around about $300 million of NPV10. So quite significant size of a prize, certainly compared to Petromitad's current market capitalization. So these are really material and significant for the company. So I wanted to make sure that the message got out there that Block 20, which has had a bit of a checkered history with Petromitad, having been the site of frenzied early activity and then nothing going on for years, it's not like there is nothing in Block 20 to chase. There is, and if it's there, it is very valuable. So we're looking to get after this as quickly as we possibly can. I'll now just say a few things about Block 5 and the Snow Leopard well and what we've been doing to follow up on that. So slide 16 is a picture of the Snow Leopard location, slightly over photoshopped, I apologize, but the guy who took the photo did it, so and I'll give him his due. He's obviously pretty good with the colorful palette from Photoshop. So slide 17 summarizes what Block 5 looks like in terms of its two major basins, the Tats Basin in the west and the Tugruk Basin in the east. The Tats Basin is where Snow Leopard was drilled on a basin center fault-bounded prospect. And you can see it's located on the map on page 17, bottom left-hand map there shows the Snow Leopard location and a string of prospects to the south that have been high-graded by the Snow Leopard result, and I'll talk you through those. And then the other map on 17 is zooming in on the Tugruk Basin, where we have the TSC core hole that Petromitad drilled a number of years ago, which had oil shows in it. And we have a 3D seismic survey, which we acquired in 2017, with the Fox prospect sitting in the basin center and a number of other prospects and leads to the south of Fox. Slide 18 summarizes the Snow Leopard result, and obviously disappointment that we didn't find an oil accumulation, but we did find good gas shows, oil in the mud, basically confirming that there is a petroleum system operating in this basin, which we were not certain of before we drilled this well, but now we can be certain that there is a source rock. We've done the analysis of the oil in the mud that we found at 1415 meters, and that has been confirmed to be migrated light oil from a mature source rock, an early mature source rock. So that is a very, very good sign that there is a generative source rock in the Tats Basin, and now the question is, where can that oil have migrated to and be trapped? The other learnings from Snow Leopard were that the striped seismic signature that we were assuming was likely to be interbedded sands and claystones turned out at our shallowest objective, what we call marker 2, to actually be subtle changes in claystones rather than the hoped-for development of reservoir. So at that zone, although we were seeing good gas shows and we saw the oil come in from the well, we didn't have any reservoir development at that target level. So that's a lesson to learn. Stripy seismic doesn't always mean development of sand. And then deeper in the well, at the deeper target, we did see good sand development, actually a sandier section than we were expecting. We didn't see any shows down there, though, and that may be because the section is too sandy for the fault-dependent trap to work. So we are still doing some work on that. We did acquire a vertical seismic profile with the during the logging of the well, so we'll be tying all that together to understand the results, and we're obviously doing the geochemical analysis and the age dating analysis of the well right now. So that's all being incorporated. But what it has thrown up, it has highlighted the potential of a series of prospects to the south of Snow Leopard. So if you have a look at slide number 19, the cross-section shows where Snow Leopard was located. It's slightly offset from this line, but not very far. And it shows you where we had reservoir quality sands within Snow Leopard at just below the blue mid-Cretaceous unconformity there. And then where the source rocks were located, effectively the green stuff below that, and where the oil was found in the mud in Snow Leopard. Now, if you follow the line to the southwest, you can see it goes down into the basin center, and then it rises over what we call an inversion anticline. And we've put a Velociraptor, is the name we've given to the particular prospect that's shown on this seismic line. This is a four-way dip-closed structure, so it's not fault-dependent. So it doesn't matter how sandy the section can get. This has four-way dip closure. It doesn't rely on a fault to seal the trap. And actually, Velociraptor is quite a large feature at around about 200 million barrels of mean prospective resource recoverable. And to enhance it still further, we think we've got a thick section of reservoir rock that we've seen in Snow Leopard sitting right on top of source rocks that have been shown by the results of Snow Leopard to be generating oil and gas. And Velociraptor could be drilled with a relatively shallow well. So we like this trend because Velociraptor is not the only structure on it. There are three and possibly four features on the trend itself with total upside of over 400 million barrels on the trend itself. So Velociraptor has been high-graded to potentially drillable status. And once we've completed our work on the Snow Leopard results, we'll be able to complete our work on Velociraptor and then do a prospect ranking to see how it stacks up with other opportunities we have, one of which is shown on the next slide, slide number 20, which is the Fox prospect. This you will remember from presentations made last year. Fox has not changed its structural configuration at all. It's a very, very nicely imaged structure from the 3D that we acquired. Very, very good data quality, very good definition of the structure itself. And as I mentioned, we have a core hole in this basin that also had oil in it showing an active petroleum system. We are using the results of Snow Leopard to calibrate Fox. We think that Fox may be a little bit shallower than we originally thought because of the velocity information that we got out of the Snow Leopard well. We're also reviewing, once we've had the chance to calibrate finalize the calibration of Snow Leopard on the seismic, we're going to be using that to look again at the fault-bounded nature of the Fox trap to work out just exactly what we think in terms of the risk profile of Fox. But it's a very nice, nicely imaged structure, very, very sizable prospective resource at just over 200 million barrels. So that one is still figuring very highly in our prospect ranking. And, of course, we are fully funded for a four-well program. And the first three, I've basically said what they're going to be. The fourth one is likely to be Velociraptor or Fox, and we'll be making that call probably sometime around the middle of the year. In terms of permitting, we are permitted for the wells that we're going to be drilling in Block 20 already. We have all the permits we need for Fox in hand already, and we are now processing permits for Velociraptor in the event that we chose to drill that. So there should be no permitting difficulties to slow us down. In terms of the success case economics for Block 5, slide 21 summarizes this. It's actually a 150 million barrel case compared to, say, the 200 million for Fox or for Velociraptor. So, you know, just assume numbers that are slightly larger than the numbers on here. Obviously, this is in a part of Mongolia that doesn't have currently any production, but a trucking operation to China is feasible. We've done all the research we need to for that. The reserve size, a reserve of this size would justify a pipeline to take the oil to whichever was determined to be the long-term market. And we would see a success of this size being a reason for Mongolia not only to have the refinery it's currently building, but also to increase the size of that refinery, because this would be a sizable contribution to the production of Mongolia. And as you can see, in terms of value, the NPV10 of 150 million barrels, based on the very favorable fiscal terms in Mongolia, is more than $1 billion of NPV10. So very, very well worth chasing, obviously. And just showing the nature of the balance of our portfolio and the balance of our targets this year, three smaller features over in Block 20, but nicely valuable and good chance of success, with still the romance that comes with these big high impact structures that we have over in the West. A little bit lower chance of success because of their isolation from currently existing production, but good evidence that we've got two basins with active petroleum systems within them. So finally, in conclusion, on slide 22, as I said, we're fully funded for the remaining four wells of our six-well program. The 2018 program, the wells we drilled were, they took a little bit longer than we were initially expecting, but because we had a lump sum drilling contract, that was more a problem for the drilling contractor than ourselves. We had a little bit of cost overrun because our people, our supervisors had to be on site for longer. We also had a little bit of overrun on cost when we had to winterize the rig to make sure that we could finish Wild Horse. But here we're talking a few tens of thousands of dollars, not hundreds of thousands. So we're nicely set up in terms of cash in the bank to be able to fully fund our four wells going forward. And the rig contract, the prices bid by the rig operators were in line with our budget. And once again, they are effectively lump sum contracts. So if there is, if they take longer, if there is overrun, if there are downhole problems, it's not going to cost us more money. It's going to be the drilling contractor that deals with that. It's the way the Chinese contractors seem to like to do it, and we're not going to argue with them. And as I said, our portfolio balance between near field exploration and appraisal, appraisal in the case of Heron number one, and with high impact prospects over in the West, drilling to start in the second quarter and to finish by the fourth. So fitting this in to the full drilling season is our plan. So those three wells in Block 20, two of which are going to be in the proven basin, that will likely be Heron first, followed by Gazelle. Heron, as I said, an appraisal well within 1 kilometer of the closest oil well on the other side of the block boundary. Cumulative resource being chased in Block 20 of 77 million barrels when there is a very, very low minimum economic field size in that area. So potential for significant value creation there and nearby infrastructure allowing us to do test production and rapid commercial development in the event of success. Block 5, although we didn't find an oil accumulation in Snow Leopard, it has highlighted the Tats Basin as a productive basin for oil and has generated enthusiasm for the Raptor trend of prospects and Velociraptor as a prospect itself. So we'll be doing that ranking to decide which of the Block 5 wells to drill as the fourth well in the campaign. And overall, excellent success case economics for effectively all of the targets we've identified, proven export route, pricing and marketing in China. The demand in China is still strong. And then the domestic market developing Mongolia through their refinery construction, their enthusiasm to have basically control over their, certainly more control than they do now, over their sourcing of hydrocarbons. So that's what we're up to. It's going to be a very, very busy year. We're in better shape this year to get started early than we were last year. In last year, we had to raise the money, first of all, and then get budgets approved and then get permitting done. This time, we have, obviously, the money in the bank ready to fund these wells. Our budgets have been submitted. We have a meeting with the regulator next week for the approval of those budgets, and we have all of the environmental permits for Northern Block 20 and for Fox. And for Red Deer, we have submitted the environmental permit for approval in December. We expect to have it by the end of January. So we're going to be nicely positioned with all our permits in hand to be able to start drilling as soon as the weather permits. And so our next step is to finalize the rig contract and make sure that all the equipment that is needed is being mobilized during the winter hiatus so that we can get after it as soon as the drilling season starts. Thank you very much. Well, thanks to everybody for your attendance and your attention. I hope you found it interesting. And as I said, we're going to try and keep the news flow going, keep the Twitter feed moving along. And obviously, our plan is to get drilling as quickly as possible. I kind of want to be the first cab off the rank in terms of rigs operating in Mongolia in 2019. And we've made that a feature of our negotiation with the rig contractors that, you know, we don't want to set a firm spud date. We want to spud on the first sunny day. So it's going to be very, very active. And it's a key year for us, obviously. But what I want to make sure is that we deliver the program that we said we were going to do, and we find some oil. So thank you for your attention. And with that, I will close the conference.